V-8. McCarthy Residence, Birchwood, Colorado. Rather than Chairman Godfrey, Emma made a call to President Slater's phone. Before Dan could talk to Godfrey, one thing had to be absolutely certain. "Emma," Slater said, picking up immediately. Her words, on loudspeaker, rang through the living room. "What the hell?" "We were already thinking the problem with the messenger's elders might have led to a power vacuum or factional disagreements," Emma replied, wasting no words or seconds. "And this all but confirms it. What we know for sure is that Jack has been working with the Geosovs. He kidnapped Terra, and Clark had been holding him here since dealing with that. All of that can wait, though. These new aliens, the messengers call them the Squadron. Dan was about to tell you that when he got knocked out by the pain when they came for Jack, but now that Jack is in their ears, doing nothing is no longer an option. What I need to know is whether you've told Godfrey you know anything yet about Dan's power and what he learned with it, about Jack working with Cole, or about Jack working with the Geosovs." "No," the president said. "I'm dealing with the national security side of things at the moment because the calls for action were deafening even before the craft landed. Are you going to tell him?" "Dan is. We just had to make sure you hadn't already, so we're singing from the same hymn sheet. I have one idea that could get us somewhere, so please try to hold off on anything irreversible for now, okay?" "What's the idea?" Slater understandably asked. In the McCarthy's living room, everyone else wondered the same thing. "To tell Cole that Jack's working with the Geosovs," Emma said. "I don't think he knows, and Jack seems to trust him. Trusting Cole isn't my idea of an ideal play, but if he's the only tool at our disposal right now, then we might just have to use him. We could ask him to keep Jack from doing anything too crazy, at least until we know exactly what's going on with these aliens. The messengers spoke to Dan when the mothership arrived, but haven't said anything since, so we're hoping every second that they might give us more. The key thing is that Cole is going to feel betrayed, because he and everyone at the ELF hates those damn Geosovs just as much as we do. So, as much as he hates us, he could still be receptive." Clark nodded approvingly at this idea, as did a few others. Dan understood the logic, but the inherent risk of telling Cole too much certainly wasn't lost on him. "I like it," Slater said. "But how about this? You two start trying to get in touch with Cole right now, and I'll deal with Godfrey. I'll tell him everything, and I'll present it as though I just found it all out. I'll say you called me because you trust me more than you trust him, which isn't even a lie. For everyone's interest, Emma, I feel as though it's better for him to bear some resentment towards you right now than for him to bear it towards me. But the main reason I think I should tell him is so you can try to reach Cole immediately, because that's the most important thing, and it might not be easy." Emma turned to Dan, looking for his approval. She got it in the form of a curt nod. "Agreed," she said to Slater. "You get to Godfrey, I'll get to Cole." The sound of Emma's deep exhalation was the loudest in the room as the call ended.
"Why does it always have to get so damn complicated?"
Tara lamented from the couch.
"If no one lied, there would be none of this crap about keeping track of who knows what."
Dan, in particular, pondered these words, having thought similar things on countless occasions of late, but having never been able to put it so succinctly. He didn't reply, instead sitting up straight in amazement as the TV relayed footage of a Cuban police officer and an ELF security officer stepping inside the alien craft along with one member of the squadron. Jack, now disconnected from the other, stood gleefully at its side and explained to the watching cameras that the aliens were granting open access to their technologies and had even agreed to be physically tested by local medical experts. This would both infuriate and terrify the GCC hierarchy, and the smug grin on Jack's face suggested that not only did he know this, it was the whole point. Emma, while watching Cole's equally confused expression on live TV, wasted no time in trying to call him. She did so from Jack's phone, still in Clark's possession, having unlocked it using the passcode he'd given to Clark under more than a hint of duress. She needed access to Jack's phone to get Cole's number. This was naturally better than going through a low-level ELF contact and hoping they could reach Cole, but she chose to call from it rather than use the number on another phone for two reasons.
First was that she imagined a man in Cole's position doubtless used a similar digital assistant to herself, delivering only calls from the most important contacts and sending everyone else straight to voicemail. The second, and supporting reason, was that even if Cole didn't have any restrictions on incoming calls, seeing one from Jack's number would surprise the hell out of him, since Jack was right there in Havana and clearly not using his phone. With these considerations in mind, Emma made the call. She did so more in hope than expectation that he would answer, so wasn't too surprised to reach his voicemail after several rings. He probably couldn't hear it or feel the vibration among all the commotion, she reasoned. Emma moved straight on to Plan B and sent a multi-line text message laying out the main points, delicately balancing the competing needs for brevity and clarity. She hoped Cole would at least see this the next time he looked at his phone, and could likewise only hope that his next look wouldn't be too far away. She would engage Plan C in the meantime, reaching out to low-level ELF contacts via the intermediary of ACN's Maria Janzik and trying to talk someone into delivering an urgent message to Cole. "These visitors come in peace and they come in need," Jack suddenly announced, facing the cameras again and this time talking in a far more self-important tone, as though he himself was one of humanity's official points of contact with extraterrestrial races. "Where they have come is no coincidence, as I'm sure you can all understand, and more will become clear in the coming hours. The message I want to deliver to a likely suspicious Western world is that this is a positive development, and the ordinary citizens of GCC countries have nothing to fear from our alien friends." John Cole, although particularly intrigued by the line about the aliens coming in need, was growing slightly irritated by Jack's showmanship and pomposity. Wondering how much longer this show would go on before Jack pulled him aside to explain what the hell was happening, instead of leaving him standing there like a fool before a media horde with whom he was equally in the dark, Cole instinctively glanced at the time on his smartwatch. It was at this point that he saw an exclamation mark in the screen's notification bar, alerting him to a missed call and recently received text message from a top priority contact. Naturally, given the tremendously limited number of people who fell into this category, he checked it out. It then took no small effort for him to control his expression and broader reaction as the text message's words sank in. "This is Emma Ford in Birchwood. I'm watching this live and we have Jack's phone because he's been working with Poppy Bradshaw and other geosovs for months. He helped them kidnap Terra and those aliens just took him from Clark's custody. The messengers just told Dan these aliens are hostile, so keep that in mind. Don't trust a single word that shitstain says, but do not let on that you know any of this. Call either me or Slater as soon as you can, and in the meantime, please try to stop him from doing anything irreversible. Without letting on that you know anything. I don't know what he has in mind, but it's not going to be good. Remember, he's not on your side. He's with the fucking geosovs." The cameras watching Cole relayed his understandably increasing difficulty at keeping his expression in check. His eyes narrowed, sending nothing but hate Jack's way. Emma held her breath. She was ecstatic that he'd gotten the message so soon, but everything rested on the next few seconds. If Cole could get through them without snapping at Jack, he could prove to be a useful asset, and the unlikeliest of allies in a situation whose outcome no one could predict. Cole took a deep breath and then another, before recovering his watch with the sleeve of his blazer. He forced a smile, and although it was one of the least convincing Emma had ever seen, it was also one of the most welcome. He still wouldn't be winning any awards for his acting, but for once in his life, John Cole's intentions were good. "Oh my God," Dan yelped, instinctively placing a hand over his forehead and shaking his legs in agony. He waved his other arm in a plea for space. "Terra, Terra, Terra," he said, trying to get her off the couch so he could lie flat. Everyone turned to see him and Clark rushed to help, but Dan McCarthy was out cold by the time his head hit the couch.